spin in my head.
Gay. When I say gay, you say gay, gay.
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 When I say gay, you say gay, gay.
Well, there you go. As we enter the last hour of the program, that's a reprise. In case you want to fly with a woke airlines, and maybe Todd Showalter wants to draw cartoons and celebrate the LGBTQ agenda of Alaskan Airlines, and prance around in a rainbow T-shirt, and then if on his way up, Todd, if on your way up to the filming of said event, the door falls out of the Boeing, well, okay, they have their act together. They're woke, even if they're not quality. I mean, after all, that's what counts, right? Welcome, Todd Showalter.
Exactly, Randy, and that's just it. You know, the only thing better than a woke airline is like an airline where Joe Biden is the pilot, right? No, I mean, either one is going to, you know, crash metaphorically one way or another. No, I always thought, yeah, I mean, I've actually done cartoons about the woke airlines. I don't know if you've seen them, about basically the pilot just identifies as a pilot and really, you know, he works in a gas station. So, I mean, it was just a matter of time before it actually started to happen.
Todd Showalter joins us. And, of course, you hear him this afternoon, this very afternoon, every Saturday at 5 p.m. on Right Mind Radio. So you and Joey, what do you have in store for tonight? You're going to be talking about caucuses. You're going to be talking about Hunter Biden, about Fannie in trouble down in Fulton. What's on the menu tonight?
Well, you know, whenever Joey and I do the show, it's our main objective just for the station to keep their FCC license and for us not to end up in jail. But we have a fun show planned for tonight. We have a local actress who's going to be on. And then we also have, actually, we have breaking news. We got our buddy Andy Polacek is coming on with his information about the new St. Louis audit that they're working on to show where all this money is actually going. So, hey, we're really going to go in depth. I mean, people may actually mistake us for real journalists.
Oh, my God. No, please don't let that happen. Don't let that happen.
No, It's all a facade. I mean, believe me, we're just, you know, who we are. But you know what I'm actually going to do today? Because I got to get this out of the way. I don't know, because you're in Columbia right now. But in St. Louis County, there's a brand new logo that apparently Sam Page approved that was $90,000. Okay, and I'm pretty sure that a daycare center had a contest to do it, because it is so bad that I've been actually working in the dark just to try to do one as good as what they came up with. So I've got that. I wish I could have talked about it the other day when we taped the show, but that's what's hot on my mind right now.
Well, you know,
Did you hear about this, Randy?
Well, yeah, I was trolling. Well, and it gets better. I saw Jane Duker's Twitter thread. She says, and she popped up, I think it's called Consul, CONSUL, healthcare, which has essentially two squares with a little dip in each leg of the square. And you juxtapose it by 30 degrees? And that's the ring that comprises the new logo, but it's borrowed from another company, and then the fleur-de-lis is in the middle. That's it. I mean, was this Etch-a-Sketch graphic design that they paid $90,000 to, or what? I mean, plagiarism incorporated, or what?
I think they did it. It has to be something woke, right, Andy? Randy, I'm sorry. Because, I mean, it makes no sense. Whoever, and again, you know, normally I don't try to trash other people, but I don't think a real person actually did this. I think maybe somebody's, ferret or a guinea pig did this. I don't know. It doesn't look like it was even. Here's the point, though. It was $90,000, right? And from what I understand, I mean, the county is broke. I mean, they're talking about having to lay off police officers and things like that. And then $90,000 for this? I mean, I don't get it. So, like I said, what I've done, I've turned off all the lights. I've duct taped my hands. I've shut my eyes. I've spun around in circles three times. And I've tried to draw one just as good.
Yeah. Don't forget to click your heels three times. That's important, too, because you can identify as Dorothy just for a little while. That'll help you reinvent.
I only wear the heels on Tuesdays on Woke Tuesday. Yeah.
and Nikki Haley, you can use them to kick your opponents with. Yeah, right.
Yeah, something like that. But they got to be like Nikki Haley.
What do you?
10-inch.
What do you? What are your prognostications on the Iowa caucus? I mean, is this going to be an absolute blowout, or do you think that Chris Christie getting out of the mix, maybe people not really being truthful when they talk to pollsters? What do you think it's going to land?
I don't know. There have been some surprises in the past, but, you know, to be quite honest with you, like even the debate the other night with DeSantis and Haley, I didn't even watch it. Typically, I watch all those things because now it's become kind of like it's pretty much a waste of time. I think it's pretty much a slam dunk that Trump is going to get the nomination. And why are we wasting all our time with these outside debates and everything when we ought to be focusing on, you know, who's actually going to be, you know, running for office? I mean, I think that's been, I mean, people will argue about that and say Haley's coming up, but I just don't think she has a viable chance to beat him. And I think even though it's January, that's what we put all our efforts behind. Now, obviously you're going to have the caucus, you have primaries and things like that. But at the same time, as far as people getting behind their candidate and rallying and doing whatever we can to change this country, which has been sent down the toilet in the last few years, I think we got to, you know, kind of circle the wagons and get behind who's going to really win this thing.
Yeah. You know, Todd, there's been, okay, let's assume that happens. It's a done deal. I mean, and there's really no surprises. There's no Nikki Haley surge, you know. But there's been some underreported polling back in mid-December. Among them, New York Times, Siena College poll, that talks about, swing state poll. This swing state poll, that's the ones we really need to look at. Trump went from a 4-point lead on Biden across those states without a conviction to a 10-point deficit if he's convicted, a 14-point swing. Now, I think the core will stick with Trump no matter what. I even think anti-Trumpers may stick with Trump. I'm worried about those national propaganda radio and propaganda broadcasting systems, listeners and viewers in the middle, who will make the difference, after all, in those states. I'm worried that they won't. That'll swing the ball towards Biden or anyone else other than Trump. What say you?
Well, you know, the one thing I learned, and I think it's very important at this point, is if you look at 2020, these polls that were we were all, you know, following these polls. I mean, regardless of who were doing them, and we were almost guaranteed. We were going to crush it. We were going to go out there and it was a slam dunk. We were going to win as far as the Republicans are concerned. And that didn't happen. Okay. So I'm very skeptical of these polls and who puts them out. I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy guy, but a lot of these polls, I mean, just aren't very accurate. And I think when people start listening to them, they're not getting the full picture. And I start to question, why are these polls being put out there the way that they are? I mean, if you think there's going to be a slam dunk, okay, like you say Trump is just going to win, well, you don't really even have to vote. He's going to win. I mean, so why even bother about it? I mean, but if you say, I mean, I think that the polls are working more to the opposition's favor than they are to ours. I don't even listen to the polls anymore. I don't pay any attention to them. I don't read them. I mean, it basically, I have to go with my gut at this point. I got to make an objective decision as well as my gut to see, you know, what these guys are talking about. And that's what I go with, because I got to tell you, Randy, these polls just aren't accurate. And anybody that follows them, I mean, they're about as accurate lately as horoscopes. So, I mean, to answer your question, I don't really pay much attention to them.
All right. There is some troubling, and you know, it's hard to watch it. We can joke about it and we laugh about it, and I'm sure it's great cartoon fodder for you.
Oh yeah.
Todd Showalter, nationally syndicated cartoonist. But Joe Biden's increasingly zombie behavior, I mean, looking like someone that's just losing their mind. He gets off of the helicopter, and he's looking around, which way did I go? He's either sniffing the hair of the gal at the coffee shop the other day in Delaware, or who knows what he's doing, looking absolutely blank. It's hard to watch. And does the risk of seeming cruel to a demented old man ever weigh on you as you ponder a cartoon theme, or does he deserve it because he should know better, or those around him should know better?
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I get that a lot. I get especially from the left. I get these horrible emails, everything, you know, how cruel I am and everything. And I've got to tell you, I've had grandparents. I visit nursing homes, believe it or not, because I had a school teacher in one and I got to be friends with people. And I have compassion and I care about the elderly. Okay. The thing is, but that's Joe. If Joe were one of the people that I visit or somebody that I know, I would have compassion for him. I care for his situation. It's very sad to watch somebody in his state go down further and further and further by the minute. Okay. But the problem is the powers that be, include whether it's him or anybody else, have decided to make him the leader of the free world. Okay. If he were out of that situation, if he were in any other situation, if he were in a nursing home, if he was sitting at home, if he was sitting on a beach somewhere, I'd love to talk to the guy. I would have nothing but, good things to say. But he is in the position where our lives and our children's lives are in line. And they have made that choice. Okay. It's just like saying, okay, I'm going to put a blind guy, I have compassion for him, but I'm going to have him drive your kid's school bus. All right. Now, over the line, okay, I'll have compassion with the blind. I'm not going to let him drive my kid's bus, okay? And that's what we have right now. We have a feeble, senile old man that is the leader of the free world. And when that is the situation, I'm sorry, I've got to go after it. And I use humor to do that, hopefully. I mean, some people think it's funny, some people don't. But, I mean, that is my job, and that's what I do. In any other situation, Randy, anything else, any at all, I mean, there's no way I would go after it. I don't just go after random old people and try to poke fun and do things and, use satire to bring to get my point across. But that's not what we're dealing with. Again, he's being forced to make horrible decisions that is destroying this country between immigration, people flooding the border, shutting down our energy supplies, basically not knowing what day of the week it is. And he's the leader of the free world. He's the face of our country. And that, because of that, I feel obligated professionally and passionately to go after him.
Yeah. No, and that's the way I process it. It's, look, if he has a lucid moment, then I hold him personally and viscerally responsible for the fact that he doesn't recognize that his time is up and he needs to go buy a metal detector and some beach shorts and head down to, Destin or somewhere. Okay. But the ones that I really, I think is it's criminal, his wife, those around him, who are nothing more than parasites. They're just parasites, and they should know better. I mean, I've told my wife, I've told people that work with me, I'm not a spring chicken, but I said, man, let me know if I'm failing, if I'm not delivering the goods that I promised to deliver, let me know if I've sort of lost touch with my self-awareness. And I think everyone that's, more seasoned and august in their career, they owe that to the people that they're serving and those around him owe that to that person as well. And I just don't see that kind of dignity and respect being given him by those around him, his very intimate circle.
Well, and to go along with that, I totally agree. I think it's definitely elder abuse. And Jill, I mean, she and who else and everybody that you mentioned that surrounds him is just going along with this whole, charade. The problem is, I mean, and I honestly believe this. I mean, I don't believe he's actually running the country. I think he's the person. I mean, I did a column about this. I think he is basically, he was put in position to make the decisions, to be the face of what other people are doing. And he was able to pull that off for quite some time. I mean, face it, if you have a really sharp, intelligent person and you're being told what to do all the time, there's a chance that you're going to talk back or not want to go along with the program. But this guy, I mean, he was never really mentally there even when he was there. And now he's gone so far downhill that I think the powers that be, whoever are making the real decisions here, I think that the sham is about up because I don't think he can pull it off anymore. So I think he was put in that position to do exactly what he's attempted to do. And again, this is in no way a conspiracy type thing. I just think it's obvious this guy is not making these decisions. But I don't think, I think that's why he's there. I don't think he's there because of his brilliant intellect or anything like that, because that never existed. And the thing that really, really frightens me even more than the fact that we have a feeble old man, you know, as the face of the country, are the people that I personally know, and then some that I don't personally know, that actually will say he's doing a good job. Whether that's Rob Reiner, like on Twitter, or my neighbor down the street, that actually think this guy, and I start to wonder, has the mentality of our country fallen so far down that they think a complete fool running the country is doing a good job? Because to me, that makes that person look like an idiot. I mean, because it basically is. I mean, it's like, what color is the sky today? You know, what is the sky up or down? I mean, come on, what side of reality are you on? So the fact that there are people out there, and I don't think it's just, oh, you know, this because they don't want Trump. I think there are actually people out there that have been conditioned to believe that things are actually good. I know people, Randy, that think that the economy is good. I think, well, at least the rich guys aren't getting rich. Well, meanwhile, your groceries are three times as high. I mean, you know, it's absurd, the state of what this country has become. And I hope that, you know, somebody can slam on the brakes, wake people up, and, you know, push this to a side. You know, let's get back to business as normal.
Well, I really think that, yeah, you hit on a point there. The people that affirmatively are pro-Biden, not just, well, he's a better alternative, affirmatively pro-Biden, I think that embodies the very fabric of progressive left, which now is the entire Democrat Party, right? And that's, look, we know we're manipulating him. We know that the people in the departments, all of the woke people leading the Department of Energy, Pete Buttigieg and everyone else, you know, Amy Klobuchar, everyone, we know that. And we like the fact that he can be manipulated because they believe in manipulating others for their own benefit. And that's the way progressives think, rather than, hey, I'm going to, as the U.S. Constitution says, I'm going to keep my hands off of you. Just don't take other people's stuff or hurt them and do what you want to do. That's, you know, that's not even in their lexicon, Todd. They have no clue. So that whole, yeah, this guy's manipulable. He's our puppet. Look at that. He came in as a moderate and now he's as green as and as woke as AOC in the squad. I think that's running through their veins. Hey, well, I can't wait to hear what's going on today at 5 p.m. on Right Mind Radio with our guest, Todd Showalter. We look forward to hearing that today and continuing to look at your brilliant cartoon work. It is fascinating and it's brilliantly done and well done, too, Todd. Great work.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. And, hey, have me back anytime.
We will do, and stay warm, brother. Be careful.
Oh boy, I was going to say, you're in Columbia, correct? I mean, I don't know about you, but I had to pack up the shorts. I may actually wear long pants today.
Oh really? Well, okay. Well, be careful.
You know it's cold when I wear long pants. Okay, so
you got to protect those. You got to protect those long Rockette-like legs of yours. Be careful. Got to protect.
Oh well, I shave them too. Well, I won't.
Oh boy, that's TMI. TMI. All right, we'll see you, brother. Take care.
All right, take care. Thanks, Randy. Bye-bye.
You too. All right, there he is. Coming up, we're going to talk more about patriotism, the 24 election cycle, and how people have forgotten, they've lost their compass in this country, and that's what's scary, with Drew Thomas Allen coming right up on the Tober Show. And at 8:45, warm up your cell phones. Get your fingers ready, your fingertips. 314-912-1019. Write it down. We'll talk to you after the Drew Thomas Allen interview. Stay there.
Gay.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome back to the program. It's 8:28, and looking forward to this discussion with Drew Thomas Allen, author of America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 24? Thank you for joining me, Drew. I hope everything's good in your environment. You're out on the West Coast, huh?
Yeah, I'm in a communist state of California. I'm actually about 10 minutes from Nancy Pelosi's place in the Napa Valley.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, man. I don't know how you're surviving out there, but I guess we have to keep some kind of an enclave of rational, conservative patriotism out there. So thanks for doing that.
Keeps me strong and motivated, I suppose.
Hey, I love the book because it's really a wonderful compendium of, you know, all of the big issues that are going to be on the table this election. And when you read it, and by the way, it's very well referenced too. The notes are at the bottom of every page, the references. I really appreciate that, because that really, I think, helps give so much credibility to what the left will say. Ah, you bunch of fear mongers. You guys, we need to fact check you guys. You guys be a bunch of Neanderthal knuckle draggers that never graduated from grade school. And I appreciate the referencing. But whether it's climate hoax, whether it's the immigration, whether no matter what, the economy, boy, oh boy, I don't know how people can look at this election cycle and think that anyone but Joe has to be sitting in the Oval Office.
Yeah. I mean, look, what I try to explain to people, and there are a couple of things we're up against. We have a propaganda media, obviously, and so on and so forth. One of the great benefits, you know, my book, when I started writing it, even, you know, 8 months ago or whenever it was, you know, I took the big risk of writing an entire book premised on the fact that it was going to be Donald Trump versus Joe Biden or some other Democrat who might eventually replace him at the last minute. And I remember my publisher saying, "Are you sure about that? You know, we don't really have a book we can sell if that doesn't happen." So I was pretty confident that's where we were going to go. And this should be the easiest election of anyone's lifetime, to be honest, because we have all lived under a Biden presidency and we have all lived under a Trump presidency. And if you ask yourself that kind of Reagan-esque question, when he looked into the camera, when he had that one and only debate with Jimmy Carter, and he said, "Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?" And every American said no, and they voted for Reagan. But the difference here is we actually have experience under Trump's policies, and no American can objectively say they were better off under Biden than Trump. And I think that people at the end of the day are going to remember that as long as we remind them, because we have a media and a strategy that has already been shown by the Democrat Party that is simply to label Donald Trump a dictator or Hitler. They're using fear because, of course, they cannot run on Marxism and socialism because those policies are destructive by design and destroy people's livelihoods, the economy, national security. Everything is in peril. And so they can't have us talk about those things that actually are affecting our lives. They just want to scare people into making a decision that is against their own best interest.
You're right. And that's why the book points out, as I think we're beginning to hear, it's never going to be on the CNBCs, the MSNBCs, CNNs of the world, but we're beginning to hear stories where silently and not so silently and always underreported, big business, even Dr. Fauci and others are admitting that they got it wrong. I mean, Fauci in testimony the other day said that the social distancing thing was sort of made up, that the mask mandates not so much, or the kids in school, and then that the vaccine mandate was too heavy-handed. Hertz, we were talking about earlier, Hertz car company is unloading 20,000 electric vehicles because they're losing buku bucks on them. They're too expensive to maintain. No one wants to rent them. But you don't hear this on the New York Times, on the Washington Compost. And it's incumbent on the likes of Drew Thomas Allen at his Twitter feed and Randy Tobler and others on this station and the other outlets that you're seen and heard on to get the word out to those influenceable middle voters who will make the difference in this election, Drew. That's where we've got to get the word out to.
Well, exactly. And what I'm trying to urge people to do is not bury their heads in the sand and refuse to discuss politics because it's uncomfortable, or they don't want to engage people because, again, that's also uncomfortable for them. This is a time between now and November to talk about politics and get out of your comfort zone. One thing I want people to understand, and I explain this in the book, it's vital if we're going to save the country, is acknowledging and talking about the gravity of the situation in America right now. And I'm not trying to scare people, and this is not hyperbolic, but 2024 is an inflection point in American history of the same weight as 1776 with the American Revolution and 1861 with the Civil War. Just because we're not talking about a physical violent war here does not take away from the severity of the situation. We've never been so close to going off the ledge and having a true tyranny. And that's what we're up against today. It's establishment. There's people in the GOP that are part of this too, but certainly the Democrat Party is leading the efforts. But they are trying to control the power that they have taken for themselves from the American people over these many decades. And, you know, it's really important that we lean into our history, acknowledge the fact that we're in danger, but also remember that we have patriotism, not racism, but patriotism in our DNA. And it is our time now to stand up and do everything we can to preserve this nation. I've got a 9-month-old daughter. She'll turn 10 months at the end of this month. She's crawling around. It's the most beautiful blessing in my life. And that's added even an additional sense of urgency to what I do every day. Because I look, Randy, I love this country so much. And I really, even though the Democrat Party is evil, what they're doing is evil, as far as even, you know, the Democrat voter out there, you know, they've been misled. Like, I really do. As a Christian, too, it's kind of like I view it the same way. I mean, these are my American brothers and sisters. So, you know, I didn't write this book to just convince a bunch of conservatives to do everything they could, but to persuade Americans to do what's in their best interest, because at the end of the day, we're going to rise or sink together.
You're so right. And, you know, it's so funny that if you even mention that you're a Christian, that you're a traditionalist, that, you know, you're a limited government person, it's just all of a sudden, if you talk to anyone except someone in, you know, in our own camp, for lack of a better of term, you can just feel the air change. It gets cold. People don't even want to discuss the fact that, hey, groceries are up 30%, energy up sometimes more, housing up 25%. And you really want people, the person you're looking at who's may listen to NPR, PBS, and buy all the pablum from the left, you really care about them. You want their kids to do as well as yours. Boy, it's increasingly difficult because the lines are drawn, and they're hard, and they're in the sand. And I don't know, man, if this is a pivotal election. I worry that the teeter has tottered. I just hope we can pull it back, Drew. I really do.
Well, two things. One, Donald Trump and no Republican, no candidate is the Messiah. Electing Trump, reelecting Trump is absolutely necessary to starting the work of healing and fixing this nation. Without doing that, if they win, I've got bad news for you. But it has to be done. And then we've got to spend the rest of our lives actually adjusting our mindset and being involved in this republic, because, you know, it's Benjamin Franklin. I like to tell the story lately. 1787, I think it was. He was in Philadelphia. You know, they were having the convention of the states. He was trying desperately to convince three holdouts to sign on to this Constitution. And as he came out of the hall, a woman named Elizabeth Powell, a citizen, of course, remember, all these people were waiting breathlessly, you know, to find out what government we were going to have, because we just fought a war to overthrow a bad one. And she asked him, "Well, doctor, do we have a republic or a monarchy?" And he said, "It's a republic if you can keep it." And he said that to her. It wasn't if the politician can keep it. It wasn't if the powers that be can keep it. It's if you, the citizen, can keep it. And that's where we've really failed is, you know, there are a million reasons for it. We're a massive country. The economy, it's difficult to make a living today. Both parents generally have to work. So we're so busy. But we have an obligation, if we want to keep this republic, to be involved and not just, you know, give our money to Mitch McConnell and let him pick our candidates for us. And then we just go dutifully vote for people at the polls. I mean, that's not how it works. But the government's out of control. It's too big. It's the second largest employer in the country. It was never intended to be like this. It was supposed to be limited. And so, you know, we've got a foreign invader in this country, which is the Democrat Party and their ideology. And so often we are hesitant or reluctant to talk about our faith or talk about, you know, our traditional values. But those are the values that make this country great. So we should be actually talking to them like they have no place here and not the other way around.
Yeah, boy, that's a great way to frame it. And again, we're talking with Drew Allen, and his book is America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 2024? Now, I do have concerns about. I believe that anyone but Biden is my stance. I'll vote for anyone. If for some reason Nikki Haley emerged, look, she's not number one, two, or three in my book, but, you know, on her worst day, Drew, she's better than anything that the Democrats can throw up. And that's another question that we need to talk about. But last November, December time span, several polls, Reuters, Vanderbilt, Quinnipiac, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Siena College poll. That one was from a swing state poll, showed that if Trump is convicted, the tables turn and he goes from a modest lead to a significant deficit. Do you think those polls should be ignored? Do you think we should think that through? What does a Trump conviction, I don't think it's if, I think it will happen in New York, in D.C., maybe not in Florida, certainly in Fulton County, even with Fannie's problems. What does that change your calculus at all as you analyze the race?
No, it doesn't change it at all, because at this point, what they're doing to this country, which is unprecedented in terms of prosecuting and indicting a former president, it's never happened in our history before. And of course, these are all bogus charges. These are banana republic tactics. And if they're able to succeed, if they're able to influence our decision about who our candidate is, because they're going to use the justice system and they're going to corrupt it and they're going to do this to go after Donald Trump, well, it's all falling after this. If we really want retribution for everything that's happened, the first thing we can do, the most important thing we can do, is to give them the middle finger and stick Trump back in office. And fortunately, he's also a good candidate. Not a perfect candidate, but I'm not looking for Jesus Christ. I'll meet him in the next life. So, no, I don't think that changes my calculus. I don't care about any polls right now. I think that part of the problem is we have this kind of syndrome we've developed where we react to what the media does. So a lot of people falsely think, Randy, and I talk about it in the book, I call it Trump fatigue syndrome. I thought I coined it, and then I think other people have used it as well. But anyway, Trump fatigue syndrome is people on our side who, for various reasons, believe that Trump is the problem instead of the deep state, the Democrats, and the media. So they believe that if you go with DeSantis, or you go with Haley, or you go with another candidate, everything's going to level again. The pain is going to go away. The media is going to be nice. They're not going to attack us like they did before. That's not going to happen, and that's not true. You can look at what they did to Mitt Romney. You can look at what they did to any candidate in the past. They only love you and speak favorably of you when you do what the Democrats want you to do and when you bend the knee. So, no, it's imperative that we, you know, look, if DeSantis and Haley were actually stood a chance of replacing Trump because the people wanted that to happen, I would have a different opinion. But, you know, Todd, your last caller, I mean, man, I got to send him a book or something, because he said something I speak about a lot, which is that, Trump here, I mean, he's leading by double digits after Iowa, New Hampshire. When he wins, which I believe he will, it's time for these primaries to end. I mean, we can still have a caucus and whatever else and go through the process, but we need to unite, because the way we defeat Biden and the Democrats, which I think is still actually, I mean, easy if we all do what we need to do to make it happen. We just need to stay on message. We need to stop fighting each other, and we need to focus on what they've done and tell the American people how much better it was under Trump. Remind them, like in my book, of every failure of this administration, and then tell them how we're going to make their lives better through our policies.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, the while we should reject all the progressive left ideology, there's two tactics we should remember. That is, one, coalesce behind a winner. And two, if the rules say early voting, bundling, drop boxes, whatever, play by the rules. If you're brought to a knife fight, bring a bigger knife. And that's the two things in this election cycle we need to learn. Drew Thomas Allen, thanks for being with me. Thanks for writing this book. Everyone should pick it up and really use this as a guidebook when you're talking with friends and colleagues that you can influence. It's a fabulous read. America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 2024? Thanks for being with me, Drew, and keep fighting the good fight out there in the People's Republic of California.
Thanks, Doctor. You too. I appreciate you.
All right, take care, brother. He calls himself the Millennial Minister of Truth, Drew Thomas Allen. And, there's a lot of truth in what he says. When we come back, your turn, 314-912-1019. Let's talk it up. We'll return in just a few.
House Senior Living. Our residents feel right at home. Our vibrant facility offers delightful activities and outings. Round-the-clock professional care. And exquisite house-made meals.
Well, I've been eating everything that's put in front of me. I've been eating all Italian food, basically.
And ice cream.
Chocolate chip ice cream.
White House Senior Living, where residents feel like presidents.
It is so tragic, isn't it? Just tragic that we have an American president whose wife has to lead him like a little lost dog from the podium, off the stage, and back on. I mean, it is just sad. Tell him, remind him what he loves to eat. That was a little parody posted on Trump. Was that the Trump Twitter thing or on the Rumble? Which, or on
Yeah, that one was
Truth Social,
Twitter, and anybody that knows the clip, it shows all these clips of the White House and just him being him, and it's absolutely hilarious. I was cracking up behind the scenes here.
I'm Randy Tolbert. There's Jerome, who's doing a fabulous job trying to manage this program, which is a tall order. Lots of technology involved. I don't know how you manage it. I walk in the studio and I look at it. It looks like a 739 MAX 9, which you bring to a much safer landing than they almost didn't with Alaska Airlines. Can you imagine how harrowing that is for the door to fly out in mid-flight? I mean, if people weren't strapped in and if they were a higher altitude, they'd have been, sucked out. Right outside. I don't know. That's just awful. Hey, Gene joins us now on the program. Let's talk to Gene. Gene, the dancing machine. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, as always. Todd and Doug, I tell you, they were like inside my head. You talk about simpatico. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think good one stuff. Of the things good that stuff. We really, really have to be concerned about, regardless if it's a Democrat or Republican in office, is this, and this needs to be really investigated thoroughly after the fact. Who is actually running this country?
Yeah. Well, you got to ask yourself, look, in view of what happened with the Austin debacle, right? I mean, Biden didn't know that Austin was out. Apparently, Biden didn't know, doesn't stay in touch with his defense leadership to some better level than that. I thought that the president got a national security briefing every morning. Am I mistaken?
They do. I had a family that was intimately involved with that. That happens every day, and it's up to the president whether they decide to go or not. And when Obama was in office, he rarely, I know this for a fact, rarely ever showed up for one of those. That's how little he gave a damn about it.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's just... this is just tragic. And I mean, I feel sorry for Lloyd Austin that he's got prostate cancer. I wish him well. I hope that the surgery eradicated it. And if he needs any adjuvant therapy, that it goes well. I don't know what the complication was. You know, personally, we hope he does well. But I mean, he had a, as Dakota Woods said earlier, he's got a total lapse of judgment. But even if he lapsed, you would think that someone in the White House would ask questions like, where's the SEC? You know, where's the defense SEC? I don't know.
Oh, I agree. I had that situation, same thing myself, many years ago. And I had heard, I forget who this was. I normally try to get my sources and things. But there's supposed to be a third in line for that job responsibility, too. And I understand Congress has never appointed that third person. And I agree with you. And my wife and I have talked about this at length. Jill and that entire family, it's just a damn shame that they are so drunk on power and everything to take that man and push him along even through the campaign to get him in office at first instead of taking him by the hand and say, Joe, I know you want this, but for the best of you, it's just not right. Let's call it done and go on with the rest of our life privately.
No, that's right. I mean, I think the people around him, if they really loved their country rather than they loved their own power, power is such an evil sin. Well, the abuse of power. I mean, power is necessary, but when people use it rather than honor it and nurture it and treat it, I think of power as sort of as delicate as a little soap bubble floating in the air. You know what I mean? And you have to handle it carefully. You have to be very careful. Instead, people are reckless with it. And can we agree, Gene, this isn't just a Democrat problem. This is a Democrat and Republican thing. I mean, look at the Republicans. They're spending like drunken sailors. Mike Johnson, I don't know what he's up to.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've got to get back to how this government was originally set up. You get people that go up there, serve the country for a couple of years, and go back home to do their whatever their regular career is and have some correct path put in place to inform, nurture, instruct the newbies coming in and everything, and get the heck rid of the bureaucrats and everything behind the scenes that are pushing the pencils and actually running things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll have to see. I mean, the CPI numbers are still not where they need to be. They were up year over year, 3.4%, and took a little bump month over month last month and or last week. And look, we're not out of the woods yet. I think with AI threatening jobs, and we already see, we've seen massive layoffs in tech, and I think it's going to spread across lower skilled jobs. Or it's reported, I think, is it in Colorado, they have robots doing the entire McDonald's operation. At least that's what I've been through, what's been reported. Maybe that's a deep fake, but we're letting immigrants in like crazy. They're going to take whatever few jobs remain, and the Democrats are okay with it. Why? Because they can maintain their power with a one-party system born on the wings of illegal immigrants who are given pathway to citizenship. I can see this picture. We all can see it. And apparently, sure. Americans don't care about their future or the kids' future.
Yeah. And one last thing here, too. People that are going to sit home with their thumbs up their nose and everything, pardon the expression, or backsides, if Trump does become the nominee and it's like, oh, I'm not going to vote for him. I'm sorry. They're a damn fool, because we are at I agree completely. We are at a serious tipping point.
We're at a tipping point. We're a tipping point. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Gene. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling. And we appreciate your and other responses on our Facebook feed. And we try to stay up with those, and we will continue to do that. Thanks, Gene. Stay warm in this treacherous weather. Okay. That wraps it up. Look, we are at a tipping point. We're going to continue to emphasize that point as we follow the caucuses on Monday. We follow what's going on in Congress as they try to get their act together. Forget about it. And we look forward to Eric and Bob and analyzing the latest inflation data, what it means for prices, for Fed actions, and ultimately your financial security. Family, faith, and freedom. That trifecta will get us back to true north, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being with me. For Jerome, I'm Randy Tober. We'll be back next week, God willing. Have a safe weekend and week. We'll see you then.